Attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Some people have big plans after school. You know what Elliot's going to do? Jeff, too. Elliot's at work on a book report using Scripcid on Radio Shack's Color Computer 3. It hooks up to his TV. And Jeff's at his Radio Shack Color Computer 3 playing the newest football game. But wait, what's Elliot doing playing new Super Pitfall? And Jeff's having a blast with a new math tutor. You never know what you might try with more than 100 programs for fun and learning. Radio Shack's Color Computer 3 comes with everything you see here. Other items each sold separately. Only at Radio Shack.
When you're dealing with higher volumes of information and need answers fast, you search everywhere for solutions, but find it hard to get on top of things. That's why IBM created the Personal Computer AT with the power to push high performance even higher. With the AT, fast becomes faster, and the capacity to handle data becomes greater. All to help put your business on solid ground. The IBM Personal Computer AT, for advanced technology.
There's a new personal computer from Commodore, with a third more built-in memory than the Apple II, at half the cost. The Commodore 64.
The most dangerous man in Silicon Valley sits in an office in this building. People love him and hate him, often at the same time. For 10 years, by sheer force of will, he made the personal computer industry follow his direction. With this guy, we're not talking about someone driven by the profit motive and a desire for an opulent retirement at the age of 40. No, we're talking holy war. We're talking rivers of blood and fields of dead martyrs to the cause of greater computing. We're talking about a guy who sees the personal computer as his tool for changing the world. We're talking about Steve Jobs.
It is 19 minutes after the hour of one, and this the month of September, the year of our Lord 2010. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the fleshly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, America's new best friend. Thank you for joining us today. It is 503-505-6964. If you want, you should get with the talking. 503-505-6964, if you would like to engage with us telephonically with your comments, questions, clarifications, kvetches, ruminations, ponderings, musings of an ironic nature, whatever it is you might have. See how I did that flawlessly there?
You did.
I think it's the kvetches. Yeah. That's what I was leaving out before.
Despite almost laughing, because as you started to talk, you saw me knocking back a fistful of Vicodin with and washing it down with Vizo.
I was going to say.
I call that a hillbilly speedball.
It's destined to be a good day when I look over and I just see you pounding a bunch of medication and a bunch of stimulants at the same time. That's how you know glory is afoot. All right.
That makes for good entertainment.
Really,
that's good radio.
It's just like we were all just reciting a St. Crispin's Day speech or something together. All right. Well, in any event, it's 503-505-6964 if you want to be part of today's program. And why wouldn't you, my chums? Why wouldn't you, my fellow travelers on a whimsical road that leads to a land of mirth? It's 503-505-6964. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Dawn Taylor can be reached at Dawn, D-A-W-N, at rickemerson.com. And I guess the chat box thing, a majig. I've never sounded more like an old person when I talk. When I talk about the chat box, I really do sound. I sound like everything's a Futurama reference to me lately, but I sound like that old woman. She's like the crazy kind of cat lady chick, but she's only there on Futurama, I think, to appear in the audience at certain points or in the crowd. There's like at some point there's a stockholders meeting or a shareholders meeting of the Planetary Express Delivery Company, whatever it's the company they work for. And they're having a shareholders meeting, and it turns out, of course, that Professor Farnsworth owns like 98.999% of the stock, and Mom from Mom's Friendly Robot Company owns all but like 3 shares of it. And those 3 shares are owned by the crazy Catwoman in the audience, and she says, "I own 3 shares of the planetary delivery thingamajig. I demand to be heard." And that is exactly who I sound like when I talk about the text box, because I really only have the vaguest. Can I just tell you this? Mm-hmm. That in the many, many years now that we've been doing this version of the program across the Intertron, I have never once used that thing. I don't know how it works. I couldn't operate it if you put a gun to my head. I have no idea how it operates. I'm like a child, just in a playpen of ignorance.
Little boxes pop up and people are saying things in them.
You say that.
If you're on the other end and you're listening, basically you see one thing and you type. You don't see what the other people are saying. On our end, the receiving end, whenever someone says something, it pops up in a little individual box just for them. So
in other words, it's not really a chat room. So much as it is, so the chatters cannot see. I sound like I'm just like I'm ready to be taking my spinach souffle, through a straw this afternoon. But the people who are chatting cannot see each other.
Right, and that's for the best, really.
Is it because they just become children?
They just start arguing with each other, and it would be bad.
Everything becomes a land war.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So there you go. So the chat box, if you know how to use those sorts of things, that's open. You can do that right now, rickemerson.com. Again, or you can email rick@rickemerson.com. Don@rickemerson.com. The phone line is open. Or is it? Is it? Is it? Wait. All right, it is. At 503-505-6964. Somebody asked me if you can leave a voicemail anytime, day or night there. And the answer is you can, because we were talking about the Emerson Grant, which is with our partners at New Millennium Maintenance, and I said, that we've been having video submissions, but also people said, well, how can I just do that without having to, like, set up a webcam and do a thing, and then it's just makeup and CGI, it's work. You can leave a voicemail, if you like, at 503-505-6964. That's when we're not on the air. If you call me on the air, it's not going to be voicemail so much as it is me answering the phone, you being caught off guard, and Dawn just smelling something that she found on the table.
No, what is that? No, it's a caramel.
Isn't that more of your bones?
It's a caramel bugle. I took it out of the caramel bugle bag.
All right,
I was sniffing it to see how much it smelled like caramel.
All right, well, you say that now like it's so out of the realm of possibility that you'd have another body part you're just plunking down on the table. Look at this. It's my coccyx, Like that wouldn't happen ever. Oh, see, that's the Don Taylor laugh I'm going for. You're in a bit of a mood today. I'm not saying you're in a bad mood, but it seems like you're on, you know what it is? Even though you are now eating caramel bugles, which are making you smile, yeah, as is my splendiferous wit, it seems like you're on the cusp of crankiness. I'm not saying you're cranky. I'm saying if I pushed you, which I'm inclined to do sometimes just because it's amusing, that I could make you cranky. Or if I constantly asked you all day if you were cranky.
I think it's just that, I kind of got weirdly off because, well, first of all, I came down with a very mild cold, and so I spent a couple, which I think is what it is, I don't know, but I spent a couple of days just feeling a little bit crappy. And then we had the thing yesterday where the power went out, and then we had to come back last night. We came back at 7.
No, we got to come back.
Right. We chose to come back. Yes. We decided to come back. We came back at 7, did the show from 7 to 9-ish. I didn't get home till like 10, and then I did a couple of things and stuff and went to bed. And then this morning I did that oversleeping thing. My husband had to be at work at 7:45, and I was like, oh, you just go.
Go without me.
I'll
leave me behind.
I'll get up around 7:30 or 8. I'll get up about 8. Go ahead. And then I woke up. I opened one eye about 8, and I went, I'm going to sleep until 8:30. And I went back to sleep. And then when I woke up, it was 10. No, it was 9:30. And
you don't even know what time it was. You have no idea what time you woke up.
It was 9:30. And, of course, I have to be here. We go on with Legion of News, yes, at noon, which means it takes about 15 minutes for me to get here. And then, of course, I have to prepare all of the news.
Yes, you do.
And so it was kind of like I just started my day behind, just getting up 9:30, getting out there and going, oh, crap. I gotta leave the house in an hour and a half.
And then
I haven't done
anything
yet.
And you feel rushed. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And days like that, it could be sometimes you don't ever feel caught up. No matter how much you get accomplished, how much you get done, how many bugles you eat, often while doing the opening of the program.
I'm sorry, they're delicious.
You couldn't even wait until we started the show. That's how enslaved you are. That's how helpless you are.
It's like caramel corn, only it's a bugle.
Because they're caramel bugle.
Yes, right. But I thought they might be caramely flavored bugles. I didn't expect
bugles.
How is
that different from being caramel?
Well, the chocolate and peanut butter bugles, whatever it is, it tasted like whatever the chocolate and peanut butter stuff was, it's kind of inside the bugle.
Right, okay, yeah.
on this is they take delicious, like, sort of slick, slippery, crispy caramel coating like you use on caramel corn or Cracker Jacks or what have you. And they've coated the outside of the Bugles with that.
I see.
And it's delicious.
I can tell. Because you waved that bag at me. It was like you were a stewardess demonstrating how the oxygen thing inflates. You're like, and here, and then you like held it up in front of your face, and your eyes were all a sparkle. On my caramel Bugles, you held them like they were the Glengarry Leeds, and to you, they're gold.
And I hadn't even opened them yet at that.
You had not even opened them, and I thought, well, that's great. We can do this whole thing in the beginning of the program where you open the Bugles, and then you take a, you know, you the aroma, the smell, and then you try some.
No.
And then it's like we're playing.
Wait.
I'm playing the computer montage at the beginning, and there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a second. I'm playing the computer montage at the beginning of Dream Theater, and I look over and just vanishing into your mouth like you're the pit of Sarlacc.
Well, you know, I got my ice-cold Vizo. I have my bottle of Vicodin. I have my Bugles.
You're all set.
This is my show prep. This is me getting up. This is me. I am now Bob Fosse, you know, in the mirror, in all that jazz. You know, as portrayed by Roy Scheider, putting the eye drops in and getting myself together and waving my hands and going, showtime.
See, I was actually going to say your show prep is actually similar to that of John Belushi. So I'll be right there. Let's be funny. All right. Well, in any event, I don't want to try one of those now because I just, I just brushed my teeth not too long ago. And it's like you can't, you know, that brush your teeth and then you, like, I don't even know how you can have caramel Bugles, which I'm sure are great. And a Vizo, which
and a
is
sugar-free Vizo.
Sugar Vizo,
yeah.
Will. But I don't know how you can do the two sweet things at the same time. It seems like they would. It's like when you have pancakes and orange juice, and it just goes all wrong in your mouth.
I didn't think it would go together, but Will is so it's cranberry grapefruit, so it's so acidic that it actually kind of balances it nicely.
All right, fair enough. All right. So I'll try one of those later on in the program. First
of all,
if
there's any left.
Well, I'm just asking you to set aside like two for me.
All right.
Just sort of you know, just as like maybe a little bit of like view it as the vig.
It is a pretty big bag
for me actually giving you the chocolate caramel the ones. All right. Okay. So there's like seven different flavors of those, by the way. So I'm going to work my way through all of them.
The one I was looking for, somebody on one of our Facebook friends or something yesterday showed took a picture with their camera phone.
Wow.
And it was caramel Bugles and cheese Bugles in the same bag.
That they had mixed or that you could purchase?
No, it said no. On the label, it said caramel on one side, it said cheese on the other side of the label. Apparently, they come that way, mixed together.
You're kidding.
And I was looking for those, but my 7-Eleven was lacking. So now, I must find those.
Because I just said the other day, the caramel cheese corn, which you've never actually had, and it's awesome. Now, you may not like it, but I do, and a lot of people do.
No, I think I would.
Well, and you know that most people must, because it's not like, I don't know who makes Bugles, but it's like Procter & Gamble or whatever. They wouldn't be making that if they didn't think there was a market for it.
Well, have you ever gotten, buttered salty popcorn at the movies and, like, M&M's at the same time?
Yes, I have.
And then you start, like, kind of, and then next thing you know, you're just kind of, like, putting half and half in your mouth at the same time while you're watching the movie and going, God, I'm such a pig. I'm so glad it's dark.
That reminds me of the time that I actually just had an entire, I did this, I think, while we were off the air. My wife is out of town, and so, you know, without her, I'm like most guys. I don't even want to read this thing in the text box. Cheryl, our chief of staff, from whom all good things come, says, anytime you hear anything on the show, like a guest, a giveaway, if we have a prize we're giving away, if we're interviewing somebody cool, if, let's say, maybe in the future we talk to somebody from Sons of Anarchy, which may or may not happen. But if you hear us talking to Dave Mustaine, let's say, or sci-fi author Terry Brooks, that's all Cheryl. She says here, by the way, it's General Mills. I've been working to get us free Bugles.
Cheryl is awesome.
She said progress is slow, but she's working at it. So there you go. And that means it's going to happen. It's just an eventuality. What was I saying? This reminds me of that time, like all men, left to my own devices, I just turn into a Neanderthal. I just, you know, just sloth around the house and just, eat of the beef and watch of the bosom or whatever. I think Xander said that at one point. But, you know, so Lara was gone and I didn't really bother to look at the labels or anything. And I kept wondering why the milk tasted so good. And it turns out I was drinking half and half all week instead of milk. I think that happened like last October. I was like, pour me a big glass of milk to go with this, to go with like this caramel corn or whatever snack I was having. And I was like, oh, this milk is so creamy and delicious. And I get to the end of the carton, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sad. What brand of milk was this? It was like brands of milk even matter. And I looked, and I just said, what brand of milk is this? Oh, no. And I've been drinking half and half, like straight out of the thing for an entire week. God damn, it was good. I can never do it again. It was so good that I can now never return to it. Because I grew up drinking, like, whole milk. My mom never, she didn't truck with no 2%. Still doesn't. My mom is, by the way, that woman, like, she drank whole milk every day, lived to be 1,000 years old. But I can never do that again. All right, well, in any event, here's what's coming up today. We have a penis watch on the way, taser watch on the way. Kelly Clark from Well Have It Week will join us at around 2 o'clock. And at 1:50-ish or so, we will have another installment of Pop Culture Authority. Today we answer the question, what is up with that chant at the beginning of Laverne and Shirley? What is up with the chant at the beginning of the Laverne and Shirley program before the theme song rolls? That is coming up today in the Pop Culture Authority. Don Taylor's tracking the following headlines for you on this Wednesday.
An ex-high school coach is going to spend 15 days in jail. More parents are red-shirting their kindergartners. And the insurance estate for highway safety says booster seats, they're good.
They're good?
They're a good thing.
I thought they were a bad thing.
No, they're a good thing.
This goes directly contrary to something I just read the other day.
You might be shocked to find that booster seats, apparently you're supposed to use them, and they're a good thing.
I don't know that I'd be... It seems like something is wrong in that tease. We've put that together poorly somehow. It's probably on my end of things. All right, well, whatever. You have to work on the eyebrow, too, when you go, like, you may be shocked when you hear what we have to say about booster seats.
That's true, because there is something shocking in this report. Shocking!
Stunning.
Booster seat for your child? Is that enough?
All right. You are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining. When I say that thing about by you, you can email Rick at... Don, what do you have to say about today's show so far?
It's delicious.
Thank you. I just looked over, and it was like you were storing nuts for the winter.
I put two in my mouth at once.
Are you sure it was two?
It was only two.
Two handfuls? Two fistfuls? Was it two just tips of the bag into your mouth? All right. Well, in any event, you can email. I may or may not get your email right at the moment, because I haven't set up all the email accounts on my new phone.
You got a new phone?
I got a new phone. Last night, I got a new phone, actually.
Okay, we were here. You were still here when I left last night. So last night at, like, what? Like, 11 o'clock, you went to the phone store?
I got it from a guy in a back alley. He was also selling Hitler's pencil box and some watches. I actually got it. This is how great my self-control is, Dawn. I got it before we came back to do the show last night. I didn't reveal it, though.
Oh.
But that's not really about my self-control. So it's just,
no, you would have just spent the whole show just playing with the phone
and
nothing would have happened.
That's my thing. I got some emails, lots of people going, like, why isn't the podcast posted? Everything, of course, went up late last night. The iTunes went up late last night. All of that stuff because we didn't really finish the show until 9:30 Tuesday night. And that's because, again, we had a power outage. But it is because of that. So here's just
and you're right. You did not underestimate the interest of our listeners. As soon as we said that, the text boxes have just been popping up.
Yeah.
Like gerbils. What did he get? Did he get an iPhone? Did he get a BlackBerry? What did he get?
Were you the one who told me this, or maybe it was Lara? She said that there was, like, somewhere, some sort of a pool going about what phone I was eventually going to get. I think Aaron's wife, Jen, may have told Lara that.
I wouldn't have been surprised. I won't be surprised.
So two things. One, I didn't mention it last night when we did the live, and so thank you, by the way, to everybody who listened to our evening edition last night, which is now stitched together with the partial show from yesterday. Anyway, the long story short is everything we did on Tuesday has now just been stitched together into one file, and if you download it or when you get it from iTunes, it'll all be there.
Like a giant Frankenstein's monster of entertainment.
With a thing of me actually speaking through, like, the little USB microphone on my computer going, by the way, this show will sound a little weird because it starts and stops and starts again. Sorry. So I didn't mention it last night because you're right. I would have spent the entire show just going, like, and look at this. Look at this little gigaw that it has. You were totally correct about that. The final straw, though, the reason that I finally just had to get a phone. And let me just say this. I love my BlackBerry. I really do. And as I was handing my BlackBerry, not even handing it over because I don't have to do anything with it, but as I was, sort of deactivating it.
Surrendering it.
It's not even surrendering because, like, I still got it. Like, it's in my bag. But they do this thing when they activate your new phone. they do this thing where they say, and they'll make you, and they, you know, and you have to like, you know, sign a bunch of jazz and whatever, and you know, it's like, you know, I'm buying this, and you know, and here's my credit card info and whatever. So as I'm signing up, and they do this thing where they say, okay, now look, we're going to activate the new one, you know, and then we're going, but the old one's not going to work anymore. And you say, yeah, and they go, okay, so. And I don't know why. There must be some legal thing to where, like, I guess they must have to. So, like, if there's something wrong with the new phone or something, you can't get all, like, angry about it and go, like, and now I don't have an old phone either. I'm going to sue you. And so they ask you, like, three different times. They go, okay, so we're gonna turn off the old phone. Is that right?
Make sure that, you know, because of your phone numbers. And because did you swap the SIM card over, or do you have to put all of your
No, it's like they transfer. You know, okay. I think it's the law now, actually, that they have to move your number for you.
I mean all of your stored phone numbers.
Well, I have all that stuff backed up.
See, but that's it. They want to make sure you realize that you'd better have it backed up.
But it's the moment where they ask you a couple times. They go, okay, we're going to deactivate your old phone. It won't be able to send or receive calls at all. And they ask you twice, and then he goes, okay, I'm going to press this button, like no fooling, and your old phone's going to stop working. And I did have this moment of like, I did have this sort of sad, it was like in Apollo 13 when they're kicking the LEM off into space or whatever it is, like the landing thing, the capsule they were on, and they say, I forget what it was called, the name of it, but it was called Calculon or something, and you know, but they say like, farewell Calculon, and thank you, and it like, and then it tumbles off like into the farthest reaches of space, you know, as they're sort of bidding at you, like you have served us well, but now your time has passed, and so I felt that way as I was turning off my BlackBerry, because I did not get a BlackBerry. I really wanted to. Let me put it this way. I didn't want to get a BlackBerry, but I kept looking for a reason to get a BlackBerry. It's like when you're looking for a reason to stay with somebody that you know you really need to dump. And you keep thinking, like, maybe they've turned over a new leaf. Maybe things will be better today. Things are never better today. There's no new leaves.
Maybe it's me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just dissatisfied and grumpy, and it's all me.
Maybe she will quit drinking this time. Maybe it'll work. It never works. So as they were
no
powering...
No one else will ever love me.
I'm greasy and unlikable. But it's like, as they were powering down the BlackBerry for the final time, I just said, you know, I actually just said, I had a little moment of like, just, you know, like you tear up watching Mad Men, I tear up with my BlackBerry. Like, thank you, BlackBerry. It's been fun, but now I'm moving on. You're a great gal and all, but I need to live.
So since this is, in effect, your midlife crisis relationship, I'm guessing you went with the iPhone.
So I will tell you this, that it was a long struggle. And I'm really not trying to draw this out, but I can only do this reveal once. And apparently, since there's money being exchanged, there's a betting pool happening on this. I will say this. Of the, like, and you, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, and I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just saying, I know that you did not enjoy necessarily the cell phone conversation. And Cheryl actually made this observation. She said, because we were doing this again at Outlook Portland yesterday, because Morgan Grace was there, and I'm doing my whole thing of, like, every person I know with a phone, I'm like, do you like it? Are you happy with it? Would you do it again? Do you like the service plan? What's your data cost on that? Does it do, how's the flash? You know? And Morgan Grace was like, well, I got this iPhone. And, you know, and Cheryl, she just does this sort of, like, yeah, in the back of the studio. And I just looked up and I apologized. And she said, this is like hearing a bunch of people discuss their brand new car when you're riding like a moped or whatever. She said something like that. And I just said, I really do. And that made actual sense to me. I do get that. That if you are not right, if you're not getting a phone or you're not about to get a phone, it's just annoying.
I guess I'm about probably a month away from getting like a real grown up phone and everything. So it's kind of helpful for me to watch you go through this, because you're saving me some of the angst.
I got a used BlackBerry that's missing some keys. Sell that to you for less than you might expect. But you know, I posted this online, and I think I said that the actual announcement about this show coming back on the air did not get as many responses as like the first thing about, I'm getting a phone, what should it be? And then I posted the thing about, well, okay.
Even now people are like popping up in the text box going, tell me he got a droid. Go droid. Go team droid. No, it better have been an iPhone.
Well, that's my thing is like, I found of the 100 responses or whatever, it was so sad. There was like two of them that said, I like the BlackBerry still. You know, and it was, but the rest of it was just like this whole like weird Bloods and Crips, like ground war happening about it. People were really just dug in. And I just kind of accepted the fact that whatever I got, unless it was a BlackBerry, which almost would have made no one happy, therefore everyone happy.
By the way, I just want to say, too, I saw a commercial last night when I got home, actually, and I was sitting at home. I saw a commercial for, I can't remember what it's called right now, but there's the advertising it as the first cell phone just for seniors, and saying it would only cost like $7 a month at a dollar a day. And I thought, I should get one of those just to drive Rick crazy. It's only $14.99.
And it's not the jitterbug.
And it's not the jitterbug. And it's only $7 a month. And then they told all the text on it is really, really big.
Oh, it's a large print edition.
You know?
It's a Reader's Digest phone is basically what it is.
I thought I should get that and bring that in and go, Rick, look, here's my new phone.
We should see. Now, look, here's the thing. We're free of FCC payola regulations now. We can just ask for stuff. We can ask for graft, like, as much as the day is long. No fooling. We should see if we can get you a jitterbug phone. Just for grins, just to amuse ourselves. I bet we would. If we just call and say, look, hey, blah, 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 thinking about switching over. But, you know, some of these newfangled phones, these Kerjiggers are just too, that's what she says in Futurama. She doesn't think about just Kerjigger.
Kerjigger.
I own 3 shares of Planet Kerjigger. it's so complicated now. And there's a member of our staff who is seasoned in her years.
And we've been talking about cell phone plans a lot on the radio to our many, many listeners.
To our easily influenced audience, will you please give us something free? And I bet that they would just, that they'd comp you one.
They might.
All right, I'm going to look into that. Because we've already, you know, we did that whole thing where I called the jitterbug folks.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that again. Anyway, it almost would have been easier to get a BlackBerry because then everybody would have been unhappy, so at least there would have been solidarity again. But I recognized that no matter what I got, it was going to piss off like half the... And it wasn't even that it was just going to anger half the audience. It's that half of them were going to be convinced... Because, you know, I would say Rick Emerson cares. The audience also cares for us. More for you than for me, I think. But really more for everyone than for me. But they would have been convinced that I had made some mortal mistake. That's the thing where the audience would have gone... Rick, it's not that we're angry, like, you know, that you got a, you know, Droid or an iPhone. We're disappointed, Rick. And we're worried because you won't be able to, and then insert, like, fatal flaw, like, in the phone here. You know, like,
Droid doesn't have that fart app, they'll say.
Well, the thing I started getting from people is like, well, you know, the Droid is the thing that has the most problems listening to the show. Which is true, by the way. That is not...
You don't have to listen to the show, though. You do the show.
I know, but I'm just saying people are like, you're supporting, you know, these people say, well, you're supporting a phone that can't get the show. And people say, well, you know, the iPhone, it doesn't do Flash. And then somebody said, well, you know, the Droid, though, it has a splintered operating system because it has to run on all kinds of different things, different manufacturers. And people say, yeah, well, the iPhone's got that thing with the antenna. And I was just like, I'm never going to win this. Like, I will never make people...
No.
I should just pull out a huge Motorola brick right now. I should just pull out one of those huge Michael Douglas in Wall Street phones. So I've got this, and just get one of those phones that's just like it. That's just like I am.
You should have gotten the jitterbug.
Lugging around microwave. Anyway,
you better tell them, or they're going to get.
Or they're going to get angry at me. So I will say it was a long, painful decision-making process. I will say here is what made the actual decision for me. And I'm just saying this because it's the only reason I'm saying this is because it's the truth. There's lots of reasons. The biggest reason, I think, by a hair, by a nose, I think the biggest reason was this. That while, and you and I have talked about this distinction before, nerd, geek, dork. While the geeks were evenly split on the Droid and the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
By a small preponderance... The nerds leaned toward the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I went. Now, again, the Droid is a fine phone. Many of my best friends have Droids.
So where is it? Let me see it.
It's up here. It's still in the box. It's to preserve its retail value. It's still in the box because
it's
I have...
It's still mint.
It's don't even look at it. Don't fold the pages.
I like how your charging station thingy says iPhone 4 on the... Oh, that's the box.
It's the box.
iPhone 4.
No, you weren't joking when you said it was still in the box. It's still in the box right now, Don. Now, I have taken it. It's been activated. It's whatever. But I do this, and this is a... Well, this should be a paid plug. I have this thing on my BlackBerry. I have this thing on everything I own, actually. My BlackBerry, my MP3 player, my MacBook. This thing called the Invisible Shield, which, regardless of what phone you get...
The clear plastic you get film.
Yeah, it's that film. I cannot speak high. If I could invest in the company that makes that, I would do it like today. So, no fooling. I'm like, as soon as the show is done, I'm going and I'm getting the invisible shield put on this. Because if I were to scratch this, I would have to kill myself. I mean, I would hang myself from a balcony somewhere.
Okay, so from the text box.
Has it begun?
Yes. Rick, you are dead to me.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Then previous to that was just people yelling, get on with it.
Thank you.
Mwahaha, do you hear that? The sound of hundreds of gnashing droid fanboy teeth. Way to go, Rick. You broke my heart, Rick. Ha, 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 ha. Droid fanboys. I think that was the same guy.
I guess I should Twitter about this.
You suck. Big mistake.
Thanks.
Whoa, in the box. I'm excited. Okay, actually, I have a BlackBerry, so I don't really care. Yet another who has fallen for the overpriced and overrated shite phone. You chose wrong. Please now to commence the hate and rage.
I love this show. I really do. And this is, and you know what I'm talking about when I say that this is why it really is the best audience ever. Because they have a, because even when they hate, they love. And it's with a zest, it's with a zeal, with a gleam in their eye. All right.
Oh my God, I hope you bought a bumper.
The bumper is actually, well, you don't have to buy the bumper. The bumper actually comes free. And that's, and can I just say this, above and beyond and apart from any sort of whatever, I got to say, the droid folks, all the, you know, the droid salespeople that I talked to, you know, at Verizon, they were actually really, really great. They weren't embittered, you know, about the fact that I was toying with leaving. They were very patient about showing me all the stuff the droid does. You know, and then you go to the Apple store, and it's that, which is where actually where I ended up getting it for... It's a whole thing because, you know, it's like you call and it's like you call AT&T or whatever. And you go, hey, I'm an American. I got some money in my pocket. I demand that you give me a product. I would like an iPhone. And you know, and they give you that thing of like, well, it'll be 6 days. You can order a maximum of two. How would you like to do that?
There was a great period I remember about, it might have been a year ago when the Google was bringing out their phone, whatever that damn phone was.
I'm sorry. We've got a call here. Hold on a second. I accidentally picked up the. That's my fault. I accidentally picked up the phone. One second. Hold on. I have to turn the actual microphone on. Give me a second. Go ahead, Don.
Anyway, yeah. Neil Gaiman wanted the Google phone, whatever that was called. That looked really cool.
Well, there's like a G phone or something. Before they just decided to go with the operating system. Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of went nowhere. But he wanted one, and they kept advertising it. And it was all over the place. So he went to his local like. T-Mobile store or whoever it is that had it and just walked in and was like, I would like to buy one of these. And they were like, oh, we don't have those.
No, you can't actually purchase
it,
sir.
Well, why not? We just don't have... So, of course, he wrote about it on his blog and he wrote about it on like Facebook and Twitter and stuff. Yeah. And he has like 1.5 million people who read his blog and his Twitters and stuff. So Google just sent him
just
a
arrived.
Phone. They just said it. Here, please. Just have one.
Just quit blogging about
just
it.
Just stop talking about how angry you are.
Let's do this. Let's go to the phones here. We've got, we're already behind, but we got Kelly Clark coming up at 2 o'clock, Pop Culture Authority and more. We'll go to the news here in a moment. First call of the day. Hello, sir, madam, as the case may be. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How can I help you?
Is this me?
Yes, it is. It's you, sir.
It's me.
Hello. Hi. Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Hey, Rick. I wanted to congratulate you on your purchase of the iPhone.
Are you being sarcastic?
Well done, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Because.
Thank you.
Because in the words of the leader of Omicron for CIA, you should have gotten the shut up phone.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're done. Okay. The rest of the week, this is going to be the rest of my week now.
And that was...
I don't even want to go to Facebook.
Coincidentally, that was the episode of Futurama I watched when we got home last night.
How great is that?
With Lur and...
And Ninda. It's Ninda Ninda, I think. How awesome is that?
Yes, it was really, really good.
I won't spoil anything, because if you all have not seen the episode, it's called Lur Reconcilable Ninda Differences. If you have not seen it, it's glorious. And it has so many great little in-jokes. There's a joke about Shatner's sabotage thing. There's the J.J. Abrams thing, the graining thing,
yes.
David X. Cohen. It's at Comic-Con, so there's lots of that.
Also just enjoying that when was you know, just going on about, you know, that the right to nag is a precious
name. That is my right!
You know, my husband was just looking over at me and grinning in that way of like, I'm not saying anything, but you know what I'm thinking. Yeah.
The very best gag in that entire episode of Futurama to me was when Lur steps up to the microphone at Comic-Con and goes, I am Lur of the planet
Oh, it's not on.
And then they have to turn the microphone on. I don't know why, but there's something about the fact that he was screaming behind a microphone that wasn't on and you could barely hear him. That was just something very funny there. Kelly Clark's going to be calling in, like, I don't know, like 5 minutes or something.
Wow.
So it just the whole show is just sort of is just leeching away from us.
It just disappeared, and we've done we've done pretty much nothing.
No,
really.
No, we've done lots. I don't mean that. We just haven't done any of the things that we actually were supposed to be doing, but that's okay. We got lots of stuff together. We talked about your bugles. We talked about the yesterday, and we talked about my phone and whatever. I had to send some sort of Twitter update about the whole phone thing here just a second, but I'm afraid of the backlash that will follow. It's like I'm just not even going to be able to go near my Facebook for like a day.
A couple of people have suggested, though, that you do need to get the screen for the back of the phone.
Yeah, no, well, the invisible shield is a full wrap.
Yeah.
Not unlike when you go to the spa before vacationing. Mm. I have that, and it's the last time I'll say it because it sounds like I'm like they're sliding me a fin. That invisible shield... because the reason I got that is because when I first got my very first BlackBerry, I guess I overestimated how tough it was, and I scratched the screen right away. And they actually were very cool about it. They said, okay, like, look, we're not supposed to do this, but you – because it was like 5 minutes after I left the store, and I was just sort of like, no, life is over. And they were like, we're not ever supposed to do this. But because you just walked out of the store and scratched it like a retard, we're gonna swap it. They're like, don't ever try this again because we're never gonna give you another one. So here you go. And they're like, go get the invisible screen. And the guy at the BlackBerry place actually told me, he's like, we sell some crap, but don't use it. He's like, use the invisible screen. And I went there, and I swear to God, I was telling Seamus this the other day. I'm such a retard. I'm such a huge fan of the invisible screen protector. I've done the thing. They have a little infomercial that loops at the kiosk. I've done the thing where I've taken out my BlackBerry and a bunch of car keys, and I've gone, look at this! And I've just gone after the screen with a fistful of car keys to show that, like, look, it's impervious! Because I'm a big dork, so.
I have a strange-looking damaged place on the screen of my phone because I sat my cigarette on it once.
Aren't you classy?
I'll just sit it here for a moment. And
Mama got to put her smoke down while she make a call.
And then I forgot to pick it back up. And it's like, and then I had to explain that to my husband later, who now I've actually quit smoking. I'm not smoking anymore at all.
Good for you.
But my husband just hated me smoking so much. And so it was one of those things when I had to, he's like, what is this? What happened to the phone? I was like, I burned it with a cigarette. And he's like, and I was hoping he would think like maybe I just bumped into it or something. But he knows me so well.
He knows.
You sat your cigarette on the phone, didn't
he knows.
You? I was like, yes. God.
Well done. Hey, today's installment of the Rick Emerson Show is always brought to you by fine folks, including The Cleaning Solution. I don't know if you can clean cigarette burns off your phone. Probably not.
No,
probably not even
so.
Off your floor. That's a YP.
Yes, I do have a tattoo, sir. That has nothing to do with me smoking.
Moving on. 971-533-3211 is how you can contact The Cleaning Solution. Mr. Michael Beatty is the proprietor. 971-533-3211. Talk more about him here in just a bit. Anyways, I can't get into it now because we got to get away with the news. But I will say that I have the iPhone. It is can I just tell
you? That looks like that. I got to tell you, the box, the size of the box, and then the little foiled apple on the
little
end
shiny
and
apple.
On the
side.
It actually looks like the box that very expensive bottles of perfume come in.
Well, can I tell you this? Because, you know, in the store, I figure that I know kind of how to set the stuff up because, you know, I got a Mac and whatever. But, you know, at the store, they kind of walk you through, like, here's the deal and whatever. Because there's a whole thing with the iPhone.
I like, by the way, that it's in a really classy-looking little cardboard box and not in a crappy clamshell. That's really very nice.
I have to say, just back up for a second. So it's an iPhone 4, and there's that whole thing with the antenna, which, it's great. Thomas Gill, actually, unsurprisingly, he sent me this. I think he put it on Facebook, where he actually was addressing this issue of the antenna and this whole story about, like, if you're in your hand, it can't make a call. And the two reasons why I didn't care about that, just preemptively. One is because the antenna is in the same place in my BlackBerry. And I've had that thing for like 9 years. And also Thomas Gill said, unsurprisingly, and this really isn't creepy. It would be creepy from somebody else. But he's like, I've spent a great deal of time observing how you hold your BlackBerry. And I have determined that the orientation of the BlackBerry in your hand will not be an issue. And I actually was like, all right then. Hello, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Is this Ms. Kelly Clark?
This would be Kelly Clark. Hi. Hey there.
Hi, Kelly Clark. How are you on this fine Wednesday?
I'm doing great. Music Fest is starting, so that's always fun.
That's so you you guys are just going to be jam packed with things and happenings and events and whatnot. So you are you even going to work, or are you just going to be like shuttling from like one band to another, stopping to fortify yourself with liquids and booze?
Pretty much. We make cursory appearances at the office where we talk about the shows we saw the night before and plan out our schedules for that evening, which starts at 4 p.m. because
Fantastic.
The free Nike shows start at the Wonder Ballroom at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So pretty much it's just recovery. That's what the office is for. We've got a lot of couches, and they're used.
Let me just tell you, and I've seen those couches, by the way, and those are comfortable. Let me just say this, that there's a section of the audience that is really breathing a sigh of relief because you've introduced a momentary pause between long discussions of my new iPhone, which is a thing that...
Oh,
see, that's what I'm saying. So you are now a welcome interjection. You're sort of a let's go out to the lobby and have ourselves a snack kind of a thing happening here.
That's me in a nutshell. There you go. And I don't even have an iPhone, so I hate you.
You go. Well, thanks so much.
We were we did talk about you yesterday afternoon here in the offices because we had a fellow come in who's a listener of the show, and he said, "Oh, hey, I got a present for Dawn." And he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a gopher skull. And he gave it, and I was like, awesome, this is great. And then immediately Rick starts in the thing, Kelly Clark's got a spine on her dining room table.
It's actually not on my dining room table. It's on my library wall.
Sorry.
Get it right.
Sorry about that. So this is our listener, Scott, who was a fellow who was gracious enough actually to fix my car a couple weeks ago. He was, because I'm less than a man. And while we were talking, he was like, "Oh, so what's your new studio like?" And then I said, "Oh, you're fixing my car. Come by. I'll give you the, it's not even a nickel tour." I told Don it was like a tuppence tour, but I said, "Come by and I'll show you the thing." And so he was here and he reaches into his pocket. And just like moments ago, I was talking about how Thomas Gill, spent a lot of time analyzing how I hold my BlackBerry to see if the whole antenna thing's gonna be a problem. The things that would normally be creepy when our audience, it's like that they're coming from the right place, and so you're not unnerved by it. You sort of think it's awesome. So yesterday Scott is here, and he goes, "Hey Don, I got something for you." And he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out, I swear to God, a tiny animal skull that's very clearly real. And Don actually just goes, "That's fantastic." So
I'm more amazed that he keeps it in his pocket. That's kind of the thing, because it makes me think that it wasn't for you. It was one of those non-gifts where it's like, oh, I'm somewhere and maybe I should give them something. What do I happen to have in my pockets? Oh, my lucky gopher, my lucky skull.
And was it a gopher skull? Is that what it is? So where are you going to put that?
I'm not sure, because I told you that thing about how I wanted to take off a Barbie head and try and affix it to a Barbie, and then you said, "Do you even hear the things that come out of your mouth?" So it's like, I don't know.
Well, that's actually not what you said. Here's what Dawn said. She said, "Here's what I can do with this gopher skull," which is sort of great. And she said, "Well, I've got this Barbie at home, and I've been looking to take this alien gray head off of the Barbie and then replace it with something else, so maybe this skull will do the trick." And I actually just said, "Do you ever listen to yourself and realize how you must seem to people who aren't me?"
That made perfect sense to me, so
thank
I don't know
you.
What that says.
Well, let us take a moment to talk about Music Fest Northwest. So the new issue of Willamette Week is out in the stands today. You can also read it online at wweek.com. Now, there's Music Fest Northwest, and then the cover story is about Menomina. And is that – now, are those two things related? It's a dumb question, I suppose. Are they playing at Northwest Music Fest, or are these just two separate things?
Well, imagine that. They do happen to be playing at Music Fest Northwest.
My God.
I know. Imagine the synergy. It just happens. That said, we would lobby. Menomina is a local band, and they've been around for, I think, 6 or 7 years now. And we've actually had them play Music Fest in the past because our entire staff is obsessed with them. Many of our staffers love this band, including me. They are an amazing indie rock band. All three of the guys in Menomina are multi-instrumentalists. They can play the saxophone while they play the keyboard with their feet and drum and then do backing vocals at the same time. They're amazing. And Michael Mannheimer, our assistant music editor, spent a lot of time talking with all three members because they're at a point where they're getting really popular outside of Portland. They're a very well-regarded band, and they can't stand each other.
And was it you that told me this, or maybe I read it, that they actually worked on their last album over the mail or via email or something, where they didn't want to talk to each other, so they just sent each other the crap. And they're in the same city, presumably.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. It's they did the last album, which is called Minds. It came out last month, and it's great. They did it all by most of it by email, and you know they show up and they play shows together. And the odd thing is, it's not even like one of those stories like my bandmate, you know, stole my girlfriend, killed my cat, the crazy drunk guy. Nothing like that. Basically, what it stems from is all three of them are very talented. All three of them are very headstrong and want to put their songs forth. And so when they get in the same room, they clash because each one of them wants to be the leader. And they don't want to break up because they know they make amazing music together, but they get angry and they get in these horrible fights because none of the three can let go of control.
See,
so
it's crazy. And that really is the way that bands work really well, because if you look at bands that where eventually someone either is, you know, quits or is kicked out or, you know, somebody, they die or whatever. But if for some reason, if that creative tension leaves, then that's when the band always starts to suck. There's a lot of bands where it's like they just need that push-pull to be any good. And without that, the music just becomes terrible.
And absolutely, and that's kind of something that they were saying in the article, is all three of them kind of admit that, yeah, it's really tough to be around each other. They don't exactly know how they're going to keep this going, but they don't want to break up because they know that they're better together and utterly dysfunctional than they would be apart. And actually, all of their solo projects, I've listened to them, and they're quite good, but they do sound sort of like a pale version of the collective.
Less than the sum of their parts kind of a thing.
Absolutely. And so, you know, it'll be really interesting to watch them. They actually play Saturday at the Crystal Ballroom as part of Music Fest. And you can buy a ticket just to that show, or you can get a wristband for Music Fest and see all, I think it's 175 bands at this point. It's a giant. But being able to watch it with this background and know that it's such kind of a bittersweet thing. I'm such a girl. Like, I read this article and I was just like, oh my God, like, this is one of my favorite bands. And to know that it's such a painful process for them to create something that makes me really happy. I don't know.
Here's the thing.
It's a rough one.
People may not know this. Dawn actually punched me in the face and then kneed me in the groin right before the show today. And that happens on, I would say, a 3-times-a-week basis.
Yeah, and Rick is verbally abusive.
Creative tension. I could believe that, actually.
I had to burn Dawn with a fireplace poker last week because she did the news poorly.
He makes me cry, like, regularly, like, daily.
It's true. And then I lick the sweet tears off of her face and I cackle. Before we go, I have one thing, and I believe you were the one who first mentioned this, but I may be wrong about this. Just this last, I guess it would have been Friday, maybe Thursday, but I think it was Friday, I went to Pock Pock, which is a place I had never been to before.
Oh.
It was really, it was fantastic. It was exceptional. I think you were the one who strongly recommended it. It was really good.
Oh, absolutely. Pock Pock is one of my favorite places in town. It is addictive. Yeah. You're not, you know what? And now you're going to be ruined for life.
That's,
you're going to have Pock Pock cravings now. You're going to have fish sauce wings cravings, and you're not going to know what to do with yourself.
That was the thing, and it took me forever. I'm such a creature of habit. I told this whole story about how we had a house guest, and Laura wanted me to go, and I'm like, baby, I don't like going new places. Can't we just stay here and whatever? And so she did the thing of asking the house guest if she wanted to go, like, right in front of me. And then I had no choice but to say, like, yes, I think that's a great idea. It's the getting me there that's difficult. Once we were there, it is some of the best food I've had in a long time. It was fantastic. So thank you for recommending that.
Oh, very cool. The best thing about the place is, you know, it started out as the cart, and Andy Ricker actually lived in that house. And then the more people that kept coming, he just kept adding parts of he just basically kept, you know, relinquishing parts of his house so he could feed more people, to the point where now you eat in his old bedroom.
Awesome.
It's just like he just gives up pieces of his house. He's just like,
excellent.
Screw it, fine. More people can sit here so they can eat my food.
Fantastic. Great. All right, reader in print in the Willamette Week or online at wweek.com. The new issue out now. Find out all about Menomina and more of Music Fest Northwest. Ms. Kelly Clark, have a fantastic day.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Kelly Clark, ladies and gentlefolk.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
A former coach at Sam Barlow High School will spend 15 days in jail after pleading guilty to a crash that left an injured man in a ditch. Larry Vang, who coached softball and football at the Gresham School, learned his sentence Tuesday. In addition to 15 days in jail and 3 years of probation, his license was suspended and he must pay a $1,000 fine. On October 31st, 2009, Vang crashed into into 23-year-old Benjamin Story and then kept driving, state police said. Story survived the crash. Vang, who was also a campus monitor at Barlow High School, was put on paid administrative leave by the school after his arrest. The Oregonian newspaper reported that Vang resigned from his position with the school on August 1st. Vang then pleaded guilty to a charge of failing to perform the duties of a driver.
And he's a coach of what?
He was a softball and football coach.
Normally, coaches are in the news for running away with some sort of underage student. So I'd say that he's still, you know, relatively speaking, it's maybe one of the win column.
Well, if you consider hitting someone and then driving away, a win.
I'm just saying, if one had to be in the news for something, if God said, look, these are your choices, hitting somebody with a car, running off with a 14-year-old, what would you prefer? You'd pick the car. I mean, it's a narrow, by a whisker, but still. Here's Don Taylor.
KGW's meteorologist Rod Hill told us all.
What was that long exhale for there? Is this a troubling meteorological event you're about to describe?
Any moment that I'm not eating caramel bugles is now just a moment that is somehow less sunny.
Okay. All right, then.
KGW's meteorologist Rod Hill told us all that these spotty downpours that we have had the last few days dropped 0.82 inches on Hillsboro and nearly 0.92 inches on Camas in just over an hour. So that was on Tuesday. We got almost an inch in an hour.
Well, this happened, and it happened yesterday.
Yes.
Not to revisit the whole thing, but as I was at the Apple Store, receiving exceptional customer service, being given a box so beautiful that even the trash seems like art. Which is true, by the way. It's like takes everything in me to actually throw the stuff away. Like when I bought my MacBook, it was like I open it. And it's like it was the most beautiful. I actually wanted to. Laura was out of town. She was in Utah when I bought my MacBook. And I actually wanted to save the trash so she could see when she got back. Like, honey, isn't it the most beautiful refuse you've ever seen? But there were, like, when I got out of the car, it was fine. I mean, it was, you know, a little cloudy or whatever, a little chill. But then I go into the store and I'm, you know, just whiling away my time. And then people just started appearing. And it was like some weird Dawn of the Dead thing where they just looked all, like, bedraggled. And I guess, but then the thing is, then I walked outside and it had stopped. So I missed it altogether, but apparently it was just like this Noah-esque flood that happened.
Well, it was kind of crazy because when I left my house to come here last night, when we did the show here at night, I left my house about 6:30, and in Tualatin, it was pouring. It was like just a monsoon. It was like you couldn't see anything. And then drove a ways and got like over that rise to about where the Tualatin Curves is, and it really lightened up a lot, and there was actually sun. I went, okay, so it's going to be sunny like back in Portland, I guess. It's one of those kinds of things. But then I drove like another 2 miles, and as I got here towards southeast Portland, it was once again just pouring down rain like crazy. Mm. So, the National Weather Service said that Clark County got nearly an inch in 15 minutes. Showers were expected to continue into the night, which they did, and we're supposed to have a few showers today. Tomorrow, we'll hold possibly sun breaks. And Friday is supposed to be drier with some sunshine.
Here's the thing. I see the way that your eyes keep darting over to the bugles. I'm going to ask now.
Is it time?
No. I'm not going to eat them yet, but I'm going to ask that you give them to me.
Well, there is like half a bag here.
No. I don't want half a bag. No. You damn woman. Don't be giving me your addiction.
Just taste it right now.
I'm gonna wait a few minutes. I'm gonna get a glass of water too because I suspect they'll make me thirsty.
Okay.
I'm just asking in advance for you to give these to me. There you go.
Just leave them in the middle of the table. Don't bring them over here.
You're not sharing your sin with me to any demonstrable degree. I've got four bugles in my hand. That's enough.
That will not be enough once you taste them. I swear.
I suspected that if I waited much longer, the bugles might not be around for me. Like it'd be a sort of a like it would be like if you go to Gringotts and you find that the goblins have already spent your inheritance.
Well, here's the thing: is that it's kind of nice because sometimes you buy like an individual sized bag of potato chips or something. And it's really pathetic. Like those boxes of potato chips that are supposed to go to like kids' lunches and stuff.
Where it's a box of 24 small bags.
There's like six chips in the bag. So it's like those airplane bags of peanuts. It's like you're going, why did they even bother?
That's a lot of bugles there.
This is three and a half ounces, which doesn't sound like much.
How many servings do you suppose are in that bag?
It's probably like a cup of bugles. It's a lot of bugles. It says 3.5 servings.
Really?
Serving size 2/3 of a cup.
Uh-huh.
So ostensibly there's 3.5 times 2/3.
So, I'm going to guess the number of calories in that bag. And so you just multiply the servings by the actual calorie count. Okay. I'm going to guess that bag contains 750 calories total.
I think it's not quite that many.
Well, what's the calories?
It's 3.5 times 140.
3.5 times 140 is 420, 590.
Yeah, see, so that's...
590 is actually not that bad. Yeah. That's actually less than I would have expected. Yeah. All right, well done, Dawn. They're practically health food. You can't really, you can't afford not to eat them at this point.
And the thing is, there's actually so many in there, I would not be able to eat all of them. I mean, we had the chocolate peanut butter bugles here that one day, and I was starting to feel queasy well before I was even like 2/3 of the way through the bag. So there's a lot of bugles in there.
I'm willing to vouch, by the way, because I can see the direction this conversation is going, that the bag is, in fact, still half full. Dawn has not just opened her jaw and deposited a bag of bugles into her mouth. Here is Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
The driver who crashed into a Salem Kaiser school bus Tuesday was drunk, police said. Jane Hayburn, 37, of Salem, backed into the school bus just after 3 p.m. near the intersection of McClay Road and 62nd Avenue Southeast. There were 8 students on the bus, but no one was hurt. Both vehicles sustained minor damage. Hey, if you're drunk at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and back into the school buses, it's time for help.
I was going to say that, you know, when you're drunk and you back into a car and then you realize it's a school bus and you're thinking that it is just concentric layers of personal hell. You know, and you just, well, there's nothing that can go, you know, nothing, no way this day can possibly go worse. And then you turn around and you just see the bright telltale orange glow of children, you know, who are now traumatized. Except, as you just said, if you're drunk at 3 in the afternoon, your life has been trending downward for some time, I would imagine. It's really not like you were going to be on the comeback trail anytime soon. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Let's do our Taser Watch.
Let's, shall we? For Wednesday, here's your Taser Watch on the Rick Emerson radio program. What is just, what's happened there? A thing just seems... Oh, that's that would be me. Volume turned down.
I didn't do it, bro! You got me thinking that I'm wasting my time. Don't chase me, bro!
It's good to laugh. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Catherine Francis, 24, of De Leon Springs, Florida.
Where?
Florida.
Thank you.
Was stunned with a taser in the emergency room so deputies could disarm her, according to a county sheriff's report. A deputy saw Francis's sport utility vehicle driving erratically northbound at 2:29 a.m. on Saturday. Francis pulled into the deputy's lane, causing him to go off the road to avoid hitting the SUV. The deputy tried to stop Francis, but she turned onto another street, driving the wrong way in the left lane. The deputy lost sight of the SUV, but continued driving south. At the intersection, the deputy saw a hole in the front of a house and the rear lights of a vehicle. Smoke or dust was billowing out of the home. Francis was found lying on the ground at the rear of the vehicle, bleeding from several cuts. Francis said she had a broken ankle and screamed that she wasn't driving. The deputy entered the house to check on the occupants, and after being inside, found a shoeless Francis had entered and was crawling through broken glass and debris. An empty bottle of beer was found in the SUV. The uninjured occupants of the house said they did not know her.
Please tell me that there's some sort of like the dashboard cam footage or something, that somebody somewhere, that Google Street View or whatever the hell that thing is, that somebody got a record of this.
The SUV had a Florida tag that had expired in January 2008, but had been altered to make it look like it expired in August 2010.
That's awesome.
Francis was violent with paramedics and spat on a deputy who tried to help. She was arrested and taken to Florida Hospital Fish Memorial in Orange City, Florida, for treatment. While in the emergency room, Francis pulled out a knife and began to wield it about in an attempt to hurt herself and the hospital staff. A deputy stunned Francis with a taser and took the knife away from her.
Oh, man. Can I just tell you that I worked with a guy. I won't identify him. I guess it doesn't matter now, the statute of limitations. But he's a respectable adult now. He was not always that way. I worked with a guy. You know, I drove around with my tags expired for like a, you know, like a month. Was it Patrick who actually said, does Rick know his tags are expired? With a sort of like paternal concern that I found sort of charming.
He worries about people.
Yeah.
You know, also, he was in the military, police, and the Army. So he has this sort of cop of the world attitude
law
about
and order.
Things. What's like, His tags are expired. He should be aware of that.
I can't help but notice that your vehicle is in violation of one or more regulations, Rick. This concerns me in the gravest way. I was aware. I just didn't have any time and, you know, whatever. So I got taken care of. When I was a younger man, I worked with a guy who... His solution, and I think he only did this once, and I don't really even know what the outcome... I think, actually... The good news, bad news is I think that it ended up not being an issue because he eventually totaled the car and got a brand new one. And, you know, you buy a new car, it comes with the new tags and license, whatever. But he was driving a car that had expired tags, and he had many, 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 many hundreds of dollars in speeding and parking tickets he had never paid. It's amazing that he never got arrested, actually, because it must have been some sort of bench warrant, because those things just sit there like a Venus flytrap. You know, those bench warrants sit there like that trapdoor spider you thought, attacked elephants or whatever. Where you just don't even, you know, till you get pulled over for having a taillight out, and then the next thing you know, you're in a holding cell next to a guy covered in vomit. So his tags had expired, and they expired in March of, like, 93 or 94 or whatever. And so what he did is the tag that year in Washington State, the month tag was white on red. So I went to work one day, and he was just there with some red construction paper and whiteout making... At work. And keep in mind, he was at that point a grown man. I mean...
And, you know, the tags aren't that expensive here in Oregon. I mean, again, having spent the large portion of my life living in California, in Los Angeles County, yeah, you know, getting your tags can be really expensive. But honestly, it's not that expensive.
I think
here.
He was afraid, though, that he would go in and to say, like, I need my tags. And they're going to go, okay, what's your name, Ted? Oh, I'm sorry. Can you wait here? And then the next thing you know, it's
like... You owe $3,000 in fines.
Yeah, the next thing, out comes the baton, and then it all goes badly. I go into work late at night, and he was sitting at his desk, and he wasn't in some advanced stage of his life, but he was like 25. I mean, I would say old enough to really, for this to be a little ludicrous. And he's hunched over a table, and I said, what are you doing, Ted? And he's like, shh, hold on, this curve is the hardest part. And and he's sitting there with... Not even the whiteout pen we didn't have at that point. It literally is just the big, like the jar of whiteout that has the lid that's the brush as well. And he's like, and then the next time I saw his car, I'll be goddamned if he wasn't just driving around with construction paper and whiteout tags. And I told him, I said, look, I know you've got tickets, but like, this is just my sage warning. They are going to F you like so hard you will never walk again. If they pull you over... And they find out you have tags made of construction paper, they will shoot you in the head by the side of the road, and they will leave your body for the coyotes. All right. Anyway.
Well, this woman, she is charged with, let's pause her for a moment before we delve into this. She is charged with battery on a law enforcement officer /firefighter/EMT, fleeing and attempting to elude a law enforcement officer, driving with a suspended or revoked driver's license, unregistered motor vehicle, 2 counts of assault on a law enforcement officer, and driving under the influence.
Well done.
She was being held yesterday in the county jail on $14,500 bail.
Jesus God Almighty. There you go. And that story from Florida. And it is our Taser Watch. Fantastic. There you go. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't forget, coming up this Friday, Mr. Michael Schaub of Bookslut.com will be here. And Bookslut.com is an online review and literary criticism site. We had the guy on Outlook Portland. He sort of has a Paul Giamatti thing going on. Anyway, so he'll be in the studio with us on Friday. That is coming up Friday. Later on this hour, we'll have today's installment of Pop Culture Authority. And then we answer the question, what is up with that chant at the beginning of the Laverne and Shirley program? We mentioned the cleaning solution just a while earlier.
Which is a play on words.
Which is a play on words, Don. Yes, it is. Well done. Well identified.
I figured that out all by myself.
I had this thing now where I was going to say, well spotted, and then I was going to say, speaking of spots. And then I just realized that even for me, it's not a pun I can traffic in. I will simply say that when you want a job done, you want a job done well. You want to get, and to revisit the Droid iPhone conversation, this is the popularity of apps. Rather than trying to get one phone that when you buy it, the phone itself does everything, they have decided that the key is to make small products products, each of which does one thing exceptionally well, which, by the way, is the, you know, the thing that people have known with their computers forever. That's why nobody wants to get Windows Media Player, because Windows Media Player is just this big piece of bloatware that tries to do everything for you, and then it does none of those things well. So you perhaps do what I do, where, yeah, I got the one application that, you know, like rips your CD, the other application that, like, encodes your thing, and the other application that, like, edits the thing, and the other application that does sound normalization.
It's sad, by the way, is that the iPhone is sitting there in the box, and I want so badly to, like, take it out of the box and look at it, and I know you won't let me touch it.
No, you can't see its jolly candy-like display, Don, with its buttons so beautiful you want to lick them. I could do it anytime I wanted. I could open it right. Hold on. I'm going to open it right now. No. I'm going to open it. Just going to tilt the box, though. So, wait. Oh, it's just as good as I imagined. It's like looking at Marcellus's briefcase. Would you like me to turn it on here in a minute? It's ready to go.
If something happens, if it gets scratched or something, you'll never forgive me, like, forever and ever, like, my whole life.
That is also true. So. It's good that you know that both of these things are facts.
Yes.
Now, when we come back, I'll turn it on, because it's already, you know, because it's like, and I don't think, Apple's not, like, the only ones who do this, but, you know, it comes, like, out of the box, you know, basically ready to go. I mean, it's already powered and whatever. I remember, you know, not to be the, when I was a kid guy, again.
No, you used to have to, like, spend, you
charge
get to the,
stuff for, like, 7 hours.
You're like, I guess I'll be able to use this tonight. Sometime.
Well, that was the thing. Like, much as I love my Creative Zen, you know, my, like, 1985 MP3 player, I love that thing. But when I got that, it was like, you know, and in just 7 hours, your MP3 player will be ready to go. I'm like, I'm an American. That was, like, my thing about refusing to wait for an iPhone 4, because if you call, that's why I went to the Apple Store, which is a place that I poke some fun at, because I go in there and I feel unpretty. but, you know, I was just calling around to the AT&T. I have hundreds of dollars in my pocket. Can I buy an iPhone? He's like, I don't know, maybe next week. And I was like, okay, that's not going to work for me, friend. This is the United States. I demand satisfaction now. Anyway, the point is, you get one tool for your computer or your phone or your whatever, one tool that does a job, does it well. Michael Beatty is that tool. The cleaning solution can be found at 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. You make a note of that number, because the next time you get some sort of unpleasantness with the rug, you get some sort of stain, you get something that needs to be taken out before it sets permanently. Or, you know, maybe you're at the office, maybe you have your own small business, and you just want to keep, you know, the carpet looking nice, because maybe you rent, you don't have to fork over that security deposit when you finally leave. You know, maybe you own the joint, you just want to keep it looking good as long as possible. These are all perfectly valid reasons to write down the number for the cleaning solution. Mr. Michael Beatty. He's a proud sponsor of the Rick Emerson Show, which, of course, is the other fantastic reason why he ought to receive your patronage. Pet damage, stain removal, carpet repairs, upholstery stone, anything your feet might touch. He does regular maintenance programs as well, and he is certified by the IICRC. Don, what does that stand for?
The International Institute of Reconstructive Cleaning.
Yes. No. The Institute of Inspection for Cleaning and Restoration Certification, Don. They have signed off on Michael Beatty. And they're not, I mean, it's like a star chamber with those guys. It's, you have to go through a whole thing where you lie in a coffin covered in worms all night, and then George W. Bush has to come in and he gives you a skull. It's not easy. Write that number down, 971-533-3211. Michael Beatty, the provider of The Cleaning Solution.
Yummy, yummy, punk rock girls. yummy punk rockers. Yummy, yummy punk rockers. Yummy, yummy punk rockers. Yummy, yummy punk rockers. I wish they were punk rockers. Cha cha cha.
It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-505-6964. Don just used the adorable phrase, vice president in charge of bugles, just now. I wonder if they were just... The thing about those bugles, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure they're fantastic, just as the chocolate peanut butter ones.
Taste it. You have one in front of you. Taste it.
I just got some water. I'm going to cleanse the viso from my mouth, and then I will... I want to have them with a fresh palate. Mm. I don't want to, you know... I want to be able to judge them on their own merits, not as some confluence of, you know,
right.
whatever's, you know, I just had. But you know, I do love these things before I've even had them. In a way, it is sort of like that Pizza Hut stuffed crust, though, where they were just thinking, like, is there a way to jam more fat into our existing products? I mean, because they might have been trying to... You wonder what led to the existence of, like, chocolate peanut butter bugles. Like, if they were trying to figure out a way to convince Americans to eat two bags at a sitting, and a guy went, no. What if we just, instead of trying to get them to have a bag in each hand, what if we just make these twice as fattening? Yes, go with that. And then this was the result.
Well, the thing is, there is no more new food. We cannot invent any more new foods. It's impossible. So what we now as a society do is we now have to come up with ways to combine foods or come up with flavors. And most of the time, the new flavors are sort of ridiculous. Like, you know what the world needs? Lime Dr. Pepper. And you're going, no, I don't want
lime. We really
lime.
Don't.
I don't want lime Dr. Pepper. Thank you very much. So, but sometimes, you know, this process comes up with wonderful things. Like the people at General Mills going, God, we can't invent any new snack foods. There's nothing new to invent. Well, what do we have? What do we already make? And the bugles are just sitting there. And somebody says, we could make new flavors of bugles.
I wonder if they have some sort of, and if they don't, I should invent this and sell it to them. I wonder if they have some sort of a program that actually will assess all of the textures and flavors to which they have access. And then it just does infinite permutations of them, or however many there are. In other words, it does every possible where it says, okay, what about crisp and tastes of guava? No, that's not very good. All right, what about soft tastes of chicken, with pesto, but then it's got grains in it? No,
well,
I don't want that.
Did I tell you about the woman I heard on the radio who actually works for this sort of think tank company that helps companies create like food products and
no.
stuff. And it was really interesting because there is a science to mouthfeel and like the amount of savory plus salt plus sugar and that sort of thing. And these people actually will help companies develop stuff and things like that. And the woman said without them that, you know, yes, there is there's sort of a science to what people find most pleasing as far as
like actual flavor.
Well, yeah, and also how hard something is to bite into.
Yes.
You know, and that's
no, it's how it feels in your mouth.
Right. And she said without them actually having any science behind it, the M&M Mars people created basically the perfect combination of flavors and textures with the Snickers bar. That it is you've got the chocolate gives just enough. You get down into it. There's the caramel, but the peanuts are wrapped in the caramel, so they don't splinter like they do in something like if you ever had a Baby Ruth,
yes.
where the peanuts are just
well,
in the chocolate.
And the chocolate shells away into little pieces.
Yeah, and it's not that pleasant. But the way with the Snickers bar, it's got the nougat on the bottom, and then the peanuts are inside the caramel. And so it manages, you still get that crunch from the peanuts, but they don't splinter and break up in your mouth. And then you get the salty and the sweet and all of that
we
stuff
We need
going
to have
together.
Like a kickback thing going with some of the food carts where when we start talking like this, that we then get a percentage of whatever they sell in the next 10 minutes. It's funny you say Snickers bars. We'll get to the news here in a second. Still coming up, Pop Culture Authority. We answer the question, what is up with that chant at the beginning of Laverne and Shirley? Before you even said Snickers, I was going to say, not even the Snickers bar as such. I was going to say that for me, this is just my personal preference. For me, the best thing I can have in my mouth, the single best texture of a snack food I can have in my mouth is the Snickers Crunch Bar. The Snickers Crunch Bar is like a less chewy whatchamacallit. It's like if you took a whatchamacallit and you just kind of dried it out a little bit, it's like if you here's what it is. The Snickers Crunch Bar is like if you were to merge a whatchamacallit with a Rice Krispie treat, because yeah. Rice Krispie treats have that sort of same chewy, but like it's like, you know what it is? It's like delicious chewy pebbles of goodness. Mm-hmm. And that there's a whole thing that the Japanese do, unsurprisingly, because they're like eons ahead of everybody else in this stuff. I read this fantastic interview with a guy who is a Japanese automaker. He contributes to the design of Japanese cars. And he said that the biggest thing in Japan now, and has been for like 15 years, and this will make total sense when I say it, he said the same thing about cars. He's like, look, he's like, unless we make a car that runs on water or something, he's like, you know, your car, the cars all get the same gas mileage, basically. They're all more or less as safe in a crash, unless something is designed really badly by accident. It's like a car is a car is a car. You know, he's like, there's what it looks like, and that's it. He's like, the cars are all basically the same. There's no new advances in how the car works. He said it's all about, like, the sound the door makes when you close it. Because you don't want to clunk, because that sounds like metal, and it's not pleasing. And it also doesn't sound safe, because people think of how hard it is, and, you know, that you're crashing into it. But you also don't want it to be, like, a hollow sound, because that sounds cheap. It is he described it as a pleasant whoomp sound. So when you close the door, it's almost like it's a vacuum, and it's forcing a little bit of air out, but it's a solid sort of whoomp when you close the door of your car. And he said also the other big thing is the texture of the plastic on the steering wheel and the dashboard. And he said it's not smooth, it's not rough, it's just ever so slightly grained. Yeah. And he said that's what people like to touch. And there's like labs full of these guys, and they just sit and they just do that. Okay, I can't put off the Bugles anymore. I'll do this and then we'll start the news. All right, so these, you're right though, these are, it's like they're sprayed with like some sort of a latex caramel coating. This invisible shell keeps the caramel taste inside. All right. Oh, wow. Oh, damn you.
Oh, yeah, that is good, isn't it?
Evil woman. Mm, wow. Oh, those are fantastic.
It's like the deliciousness of Bugles married to the deliciousness of caramel corn.
I immediately see what you mean. I think I did say this, that it's not that I dislike caramel. Caramel way more even than chocolate. I get sick of caramel way faster. I can see how you couldn't eat. I was sort of joshing with you earlier, thinking you were just trying to like look, you know, like restrained by putting the whole bag. I can say you couldn't eat a whole bag of these.
No.
And frankly, I'm going to eat this handful, and I think I'll be done for a while. Because caramel corn, for some reason, is different. Maybe it's because there's very little caramel compared to the mass of the volume of the object. These are good, but
see, and I thought they might be like they would be the Bugles, and then they would have some kind of like mushy caramel
on the inside
piped
or
into
something.
The inside or something.
Like
but
Twinkie.
No,
yeah.
they're like caramel corn coated.
I go try these with the cheese ones.
Yeah, we have to find the bag of the cheese and the caramel corn ones mixed together.
God, I sicken myself.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Demolition has begun on an old vacant Burger King restaurant that has been an eyesore in downtown Portland for years and which attracted drug activity and prostitution.
Burnside and Third.
On Tuesday, an excavator took the first bites out of the former fast food restaurant at the corner of West Burnside and Northwest Broadway, and a crowd gathered outside to celebrate and to hear about the plans for the future.
Is it a Broadway? Well, it must be Broadway. You just said it was
at Broadway. Broadway and
there's
Burnside.
One right by the Roseland. I guess I just got my streets wrong then. Yeah, it's by the it's part of the Roseland Theater. The only time I ever thought I was going to be physically attacked at a fast food restaurant in my life was at that place. Did you ever go there when it was open?
Yeah.
Oh God, it was a pit. Did you have a horrible experience?
I drove through it, but I realized driving through there was no way I would ever get out of my car and set foot in there because it was, this is the sort of place where honestly there should not be a publicly accessible bathroom.
Yeah.
It's just not a good neighborhood for that. Frankly.
The one time I think it was actually the one time I felt unsafe. And I think it might have also been the only time I ever went to that place. I was going to the Roseland to see some show, and because I'm lame, I needed some coffee. And all they have there is, all they have there is booze. And so I think they've subsequently started serving coffee, but they didn't have any. And I'm like, oh, I can't face the night with that. Just like last night when we were getting ready to do the evening show, where I didn't have any Viso, and I'm like rooting around on the cupboard looking for like an old can of Folgers maybe that somebody has.
And you're going, is there coffee here? I say, yeah, there's coffee. And you open the cupboard and you go, Folgers. I was like, yeah, it's all right.
But I drank it anyway, right? And so I'm like, oh, I got to get some coffee. So my friend and I walked to that Burger King, which was doing a bustling business, I think most of it not in food items, most of it hand-to-hand in the parking lot. And it was just, it was insane. I was like standing in line to order some coffee, and the gentleman who was in line before me, I guess to order food, apparently felt that my physical proximity to him was unacceptably close, that I had somehow stood so near as to be within his personal space. And he turned around and first suggested that I fornicate with my mother, and then suggested also that I was perhaps mistakenly under the impression that he was going to orally service me by standing so close to him, and then made clear in the harshest, strongest possible terms, again, that I had relations with my mother, probably on a recurring basis, and that I was not going to receive any oral service, should I be under the impression that's what he was going to do, and that if necessary, he would underscore that point by punching me repeatedly. And I said, got it. And I stepped back several feet and then just left.
Well, the old restaurant is being torn down to make way for a new 44,000-square-foot healthcare facility that will be operated by Central City Concern, a nonprofit agency that provides affordable housing, health services, help with recovery, and employment aid for thousands of people in Portland. The project for the new Broadway Recovery Center was funded in part by $9 million in federal stimulus dollars and will create 160 construction jobs in the months to come. Congressman David Wu was on hand.
Woo!
Was on hand for the demolition, which began yesterday and will be finished up this week. Wu talked about the new jobs this will bring to our area and how he believes it's a sign that the Recovery Act is working. This project represents 160 construction jobs that would not be here otherwise, and in the long term, there will be 11. You know, yeah. I like that he can stand there with a straight face and talk about how this is a sign that some Recovery Act is working when you're building a healthcare facility for people who don't have jobs.
I was going to say for people who don't have healthcare, and you know, for people who are unable to find, you know, like even like a doc in the box place that is able to take care of them. So yeah, it's best if you don't point those things out. Politicians tend to become a little testy if you give the lie to their carefully crafted nonsense.
Because this handful of jobs that these guys are going to have for a couple of months temporarily, building this thing.
Yeah, temporarily.
Well, it's going to make all the difference.
And this is one of those things where I'm not trying to be, you know, whatever. I am for whatever people got to do to make a living. You know, your brother got to eat, and that's fine. And I, as corny and as Horatio Alger as this sounds, I mean, I really think that there is sort of dignity in all human work, and I don't mean that in a snarky kind of way. I mean, it's like, you know, especially if you got a family, it's like, you know, you do what you got to do, and that's fine. And we've all had jobs that sucked, or jobs that we hated, or that we were, you know, overqualified for. But you know, you gotta buy your food somehow. So people are gonna do what they're gonna do. At the same time, it's not like anybody really longs for a job, you know, at like one of these like temporary manpower places, you know, like the job for a day place.
Yeah.
And I'm really honestly not saying there's anything wrong with going there. I've gone to like temp places, and maybe not for physical construction because I'm a slight man. I am the guy who would be left behind on the corner. The truck would come by and he'd go, you and you, not so much you though.
Well, I told you about my temp jobs. It's like, well, you don't type fast enough. So here, take this blowtorch and go stand up. I don't know what I'm doing. Ow, I hurt myself.
Yeah, see, so. Me, they'd have typing. I'd be a Kelly girl. and, you know, meanwhile, you'd be like with some guys named Bruno and Chet sitting on the loading dock waiting for the big haul to come in. But, you know, but I've worked at those places where you go in and it's like they're like, hey, we can give you a job for today, maybe tomorrow, but, you know, for today. But it's, you know, they are now, those places are actually now one of the fastest growing parts of the economy, which, like, if that isn't the freaking canary in the coal mine, I just don't know what it is. So, yeah, when he talks about how, no, it's a bright new morning in Portland because this handful of guys will have a job for, like, a month. Hooray.
To build this place that is necessary because so many people don't have jobs or health insurance.
God damn. All right. Jesus.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's latest booster seat evaluations show some still may not protect your child in a crash.
I'm shocked! Wait, is this the part I'm shocked at?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Sure, yeah, I'm
not
shocked.
Institute Senior Vice President for Research, Anne McCart, says a total of 72 boosters were rated.
There were 21 on our best bet list, and what a best bet means is that parents can assume that a best bet booster will fit their child across the full range of passenger vehicles. There were also 7 good bets.
That's the end of that, apparently. I don't think this word means what she thinks it means. Isn't a booster seat the thing you have at a Chuck E. Cheese because you can't reach the table? She's talking about a car seat.
Yeah.
A booster seat is not a car seat. A booster seat is the thing that you use instead of phone books at the restaurant.
Yeah. Or like when you go to the movies and your kid can't see over the guy's head, so you get the little
plasticky thing.
Yeah.
That's a booster seat. A car. If you're using I should just start using a
booster seat. Well, no wonder they aren't safe.
I was going to say, I guess that joke only works, you know, if you have kids. But I think if you're using a booster seat, that might be part of your problem right there. Well, here's your issue, ma'am. And then it's just a thing with the Burger King guy's face on the front of it. All right. Well
McCart says these seats are getting safer.
Bottom line is that boosters are getting better. We rated more boosters than ever before, but there were many more on our best bet list. And this was actually the first year when the number of best bet boosters outnumber the ones we don't recommend.
And
I like how they say that the best rated ones are the best bet. Like
still a crapshoot.
Yeah, you're still gambling with your child's safety by using this.
Two things: one linguistic, one factual. Here's the linguistic thing: the evidence, by the way, that she's using the wrong term, and that look, that may be an industry term. People in the industry may say booster seat. The way you know it's wrong is because it comes from the word boost, which of course is a slang verb for to lift. That's how you know that that's what a booster seat is. It's a thing that lifts you up to the table or to wherever you're sitting when you're a kid. So, I mean, the cars, I think everybody sort of knows. Maybe it's like an East Coast, West Coast thing, though. Maybe it's regional or whatever. I will say this. There have actually been studies. One of these is in the new Stephen Levitt book, the Freakonomics follow-up, where they talk about car seats. And they have that whole thing of like, because they point out the fact that if car seats were really all that crucial, if the car seats were really important, in other words, once your kid got to be, I mean, if you have a baby, that's one thing, but when your kid gets to be 2 years old, if car seats were all that important, they wouldn't let parents install them because they're insanely difficult. Do you realize at the DMV, departments of motor vehicles and law enforcement agencies that are responsible for assessing whether cars are safe for kids, do you realize they take a 6-day course in how to put in a car seat? Not how they're built, how to put it in the car. I mean, the manual. Have you ever seen the manual that comes with a car seat?
No.
It's like 3 inches thick.
I'm just curious as to what the numbers are. It's like, are there really that many less child deaths?
No, there are not, Dawn.
Because I don't remember any kids getting killed from somebody slamming on the brakes in their car, like, ever when I was growing up.
For children, this is what the study concluded. It's not like the definitive word, but this was under scientific circumstances, and they used the scientific method to arrive at their conclusion. They found that if you're a kid under 2 years of age, basically if you're a baby, that's kind of when you need a car seat.
Yeah.
For kids over 2 years of age and above, the car seat and the actual just regular shoulder and lap harness that, like, everybody in the world uses, they perform at exactly the same rate, and sometimes the actual traditional seatbelt even better. Car seats are never over the long haul. If you look at kids 2 and above, car seats are never safer than the shoulder harness, and they are in fact sometimes less safe because when you buy a car, seatbelts are already installed by a guy who knows how to do it. Your car seat, put together by your drunk father, who probably couldn't do it even if he was sober. So that's the thing. So there you go. But people don't like to hear the truth, Dawn. Let's do one more. We'll do Pop Culture Authority. Because you were going to be doing Ham-Fisted Radio today, PDX-FM.
Tell
people all about that.
That's pretty much all I got. Going to be doing Ham-Fisted Radio, PDX-FM, at 4 p.m. Me and Bobby Fatboy Roberts talking about pop culture and stuff and things. Don't have any guests. It's just going to be the two of us yammering about our self-involved little lives.
What are going to be the odds that you're going to go and it's going to end in some big like iPhone vent fest?
Probably not.
What does he have? What's his phone? I realized that last night, actually, out of all the people, because he and I work in different buildings, you know, because he's at Robert Wagner's plushly appointed penthouse suite, and, you know, we're here. And so I actually don't, when we were to KUFO, I would see that guy all the time. And we don't cross paths enough right now for me to know what phone he and Court have. So they're the only people I didn't really get a chance to survey.
Not a clue. I haven't really paid any attention to his phone.
He is the one, though, who gave me a phrase. I use this phrase all the time, and I actually have Bobby to thank for this. And you can hear them, of course, at courtandfatboy.com. He is the one, because he and I switched to Mac the same month. It was in December of 2008. I got my MacBook, and that's when he and girl Bobby, she had a, what is it, an iMac? What is the thing? It's with the dome base, and then it's the flat screen.
Yeah.
I think it's the iMac, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know the one? Looks like the Pixar lamp with a screen on top. And it's just, you know, it's beautiful and whatever. He is the one. He actually got that the same week that I got my MacBook, and we had both just been Windows guys before that. And he sent me this. We both got back to work the next week at CBS, you know, using the CBS, like, $1.99 Dell machines or whatever. And he used the one who used that phrase where he said, after using my iMac, he's like, typing on this is like typing on a sewer grate, which is like the best way to put it. And talking about how, like, with his, you know, he's like me where he's like, you know, very carefully cleaning the screen of his Mac with like the special like buffed rag that comes. You know, with your Windows machine, I just got the sleeve and just wiping it with my arm to clean it off. Anyway, well, it doesn't really matter. So Ham-Fisted Radio today, live,
yes.
4 p.m. at pdx.fm, starring our own Don Taylor, along with Bobby Fatboy Roberts.
And if you can't listen to it live, you can always download it at hamfistedradio.com, or you can also subscribe on iTunes.
Excellent. Let's do one more here, and then we'll do the Pop Culture Authority.
Let's do our penis watch.
Fantastic. Here's your penis watch for Wednesday right here on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles stop. Start a melting away.
Wow, wow.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Here's Don Taylor with your penis watch for Wednesday.
A serial burglar who photographed his penis with mobile phones he stole and then sent the images to some of the owner's friends told police after his arrest he'd been off me head for a while. Shane Anthony Willis, 33, of Australia, sent the photos via MMS to unsuspecting, innocent, and horrified victims that included teenage girls.
Oh, I'm sorry. That part's wrong. The rest is funny.
The victim of one phone theft, a student at a Melbourne private school,
wow.
was reported to his year 11 head teacher after the recipient, an angry friend, received an image of a penis. Melbourne Magistrates Court yesterday heard the student, 17, whose parents were contacted by the school, was further humiliated and embarrassed when he learned others were sent the photo. After Willis avoided arrest in February by jumping from a second-story window, detectives found a large amount of stolen property in his house. In a police summary tendered in court by prosecutor Michael Robinson, investigators realized during the search of the house that Willis had taken photos of his penis inside those premises and sent the images to various contacts whose details were stored inside the stolen phones.
Jesus.
The background of some of the images was of the premises, which included curtains and a TV. And when Willis's three-month crime spree ended last April with his arrest, he was asked to comment. He replied, "Don't know about that. I've been off me head for a while, so on drugs, I couldn't tell you what I've done." He admitted he had been, quote, running amok and doing, quote, stupid things. During the mostly no comment interview, Willis consented to police taking photos of his penis for comparison.
You know, there's something about people in other countries where the lexicon makes crimes sort of more whimsical than they would be here, like running amok. A guy here would never, you know, you'd never just get some guy here, you know, saying like, "Well, I was running amok for a while." I mean, if he did, it would be hilarious, but he wouldn't say that. Off me head and me meds, it sounds like.
Willis's burglaries and thefts committed during the evening, night, or early morning when people mostly were awake in their homes netted him property valued at more than $83,000. The items also included cash, credit cards, jewelry, and computers. And once at the Como Cricket Club change rooms, he stole 7 mobile phones and 13 wallets owned by 14 cricket players, including umpires, during a match.
Now, let me ask you this. If you received, because the deal is he would steal their phones and then say, "Hey, I'm going to take a picture of me root," and then...
And just send it to somebody randomly in their contacts.
Yeah, I mean, if you received, let's say, from... I don't want to say me, because it seems like you're having to hear about my penis a lot lately. You know, just some guy you know. Mm-hmm. If you just like, "I've got a picture message. What's penis? That's odd. It's from Bob." How would you even broach that subject with him? Would you go like, "Did you happen to send me a picture of your..."
Yeah, I would penis. I would call them or text them and say, "What the hell?"
And then if they... Okay, so you would bring it up. You wouldn't just pretend like... Okay,
well, yeah, I would, yeah.
I guess it makes sense, though, because none of your friends would probably do that. So you would know that something was had run amok.
The thing is, I don't know that my friends, you know, wouldn't do... I assume my friends wouldn't do that. But
you
honestly,
like to think.
If you get a call from someone, if you get a text message and it says, "Rick Emerson," you know, and then you open it up and it's a picture and it's a penis. With you, for example, I would call you and I would go, Is this your penis? Someone else's? Why did you send me a picture of a penis?
What is up with this penis that I've received right
Yeah,
here?
And
what what's going on with that?
Pretty much anyone I know, I would just ask them because it would be like, why did you send me a picture of a penis? Is that your penis? Whose penis is that? And then they would say, I don't know. Oh, my phone was stolen. And okay. So it's probably not your penis.
Well, there was this thing that happened when I was at CBS. This was, I don't know, maybe, I guess this would have been maybe early 2009, where I had, I have the Rick Emerson thing, but I was just using I had a Yahoo address that I would use for like other stuff, you know, just like stuff where, because the Rick Emerson thing, it gets a lot of mail, not like because I'm like vastly popular, but just because that has been out there and on every web page like forever. And so it gets tons of spam and just, you know, I'm on mailing lists and whatever. So I had this sort of Yahoo address, like if you really need to get a hold of me, like right away. But, of course, the thing about that is that, like, anybody can create, you know, a Yahoo address that looks like you. Anybody can just, you know, if yours is like Don Taylor at Yahoo, which it's not, by the way, so don't email that. But somebody could do, like, you know, the real Don Taylor at Yahoo, don@Yahoo, Taylor
and
there, at
and
Yahoo.
And there's also ways of getting around and kind of cloning email addresses, because I've gotten spam email ostensibly from people that I knew that email address, but obviously it wasn't from them. But in the recipient from the send line, it said them, and I immediately knew it's like, okay, that.
Well, so this happened, and so this is one of those things at CBS where I won't say who it is because it's an awkward story. But there was someone at CBS who said responded back with a what the hell? What is up with this email you just sent me? And I responded back and I said, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And it's like we're in the same building, but we're emailing back and forth. I go, I don't know what email you're talking about. What email from me? I don't know. And someone, some jackass somewhere, had just created, it was like some, you know, it was like the real Rick Emerson at Yahoo. And then that he had also apparently won some prize or something from CBS at some point on which any number of people, you know, they're CC'd. It's like you're CCing like the department head or the promotions person or the whatever. And he was like, well, I'll just have a bit of fun. And so he just sent like this hideously pornographic message to this person at CBS, like CCing every, and then he just started guessing at names. One of them was like Les Moonves at CBS.com or something. And I said, like, do you honestly think this is for me? And it was, you know, it was all misspelled. It was like all lowercase and like things were just the terrible grammar and whatever. And also, like, I'm not going to send an email to somebody.
It's not the pornography that is really the giveaway. It's the poor spelling.
I was going to say, and it's also like if I was going to send an email to somebody that said, hey, let's run a train on your mom this weekend. It's not like I would just do that to somebody who's like in the next cubicle. You know, I maybe do that to.
You would just say that out loud.
Yeah,
they're right there.
There's no record of it then. Maybe to someone in my social circle. No, not a coworker.
Knock on the cubicle.
Jesus.
Train on your mom this weekend. You don't need to email.
I guess it is fair to think that if you got your penis picture in your email, that you might just ask the guy, like, what is up with that? What is that all about? All right, there's your penis watch for whatever this is. That's Wednesday right here.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away.
Wow, wow, wow.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Wow, wow. All right, just a moment. We'll do today's Pop Culture Authority. Then we'll come back and we will wrap it up here in just a skosh before Don Taylor goes over to do Ham Fisted Radio, which happens at pdx.fm at 4 o'clock. You can also hear it in a podcasted or archived or delayed fashion or whatever it is you call it at hamfistedradio.com. All one word, hamfistedradio.com. Be sure to join us, by the way, Friday when our guests will feature folks as Michael Schaub from Bookslut.com. And a whole bunch of stuff I was going to talk about for tomorrow. I don't really have time to promote it, but you watch the blog and Facebook and all that stuff later on today, because we'll talk a bit about what's happening on tomorrow's show. Without further ado, it's time for another installment of Pop Culture Authority. What is up with the chant at the beginning of Laverne and Shirley?
From the Emerson News Network. This is Pop Culture Authority.
Hi, I'm Rick Emerson. It's an image that has become the very definition of iconic. Two girls, arm in arm, skipping down a Milwaukee street, singing a rhythmic chant about something. Then the brassy horn section comes in, and you're off to another wacky series of misadventures starring Laverne DeFazio and Shirley Feeney on the ABC sitcom Laverne and Shirley. But what the hell are they chanting? I mean, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 part seems simple enough, and some of us managed to sort of puzzle out the phonetics of the rest. Or did we? Schlemiel? Schlemazel? What the hell? The answer lies in the character of Laverne, who grew up in Brooklyn and with her Italian immigrant parents and grandmother, and also in show creator Mark Rothman, who grew up in the Bronx. Both the fictitious Laverne and the very real Rothman, perhaps especially Rothman, would likely have heard this chant while growing up as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hassan Pfeffer Incorporated was a popular Yiddish-American hopscotch chant, a sort of cultural cousin to the jump rope song. What does it actually mean, though? Well, leaving aside the 1 through 8 business, Schlemiel and Schlemazel are both Yiddish words. Schlemiel is an inept or clumsy person, a bungler, adult. Schlemazel is a chronically unlucky person. Notably, the Schlemazel is typically the victim of the Schlemiel. Think of it this way. Martin and Lewis. Jerry Lewis, the Schlemiel. Dean Martin, the Schlemazel. Or, put it another way, the Schlemiel spills the soup. The Schlemazel has the soup spilled upon him. As for Hassan Pfeffer, Bugs Bunny fans will likely know or at least suspect that it means rabbit. It's a traditional German stew made from marinated rabbit or hare. As to why all of those things went together, well, who's to say? It is notable that the chant was considered an inextricable part of the show's feel, as evidenced by the final season. After Cindy Williams left the program, the show opened with Laverne watching a group of schoolchildren perform the chant before the theme song began.
The final word on the only knowledge that matters. Pop Culture Authority from the Emerson News Network.
All right. So before we continue anything else, I will say I wish that there was, and maybe there is at some point, maybe this is a thing to which they can expand. I wish there was a place where I could just go and learn Yiddish. You know? Hmm. Just sit in a group with a few other people and then, you know, and then emerge however many weeks or months later, fully fluent in Yiddish, which I believe to be, it may or may not be the funniest language. Esperanto is sort of funny. Like as an idea, like in the abstract, Esperanto is just, you know, just talk about something being done in Esperanto. That's largely because of the Shatner factor, though. I think Yiddish actually, because it's got the sort of, it's got the back of the throat kind of a, you know, I'm going to Sheboygan, you know, kind of a.
We had a book in our house when I was a kid growing up called The Joys of Yiddish, and it explained the basic, you know, common Yiddish words and ways that you could understand.
Don't be such a schmendrick.
Well, and one of them was schmuck. And
yeah.
It told an old joke to explain the double meaning of the word about a man who buys a camel. And he's very proud of his camel. And so he gets on his camel and he rides his camel down Fifth Avenue in New York. And he's pulled over by the police. And the police take him in. And they start saying, okay, you want to ride the animal. It's a camel. So he says, the color of the camel. He says, brown. You know, male or female? And the guy says, I don't know. And he says, oh, wait, it's a male. And they said, you're sure? He said, well, yes, because the entire time I was riding him, I kept hearing people yell, look at the schmuck on that camel.
That's awesome. You know, here's another thing about Yiddish and penises, is that I'm doing that again. There's something where I just see the word castalia, and then it's like we just immediately go to the junk. You started it this time. You know, Milton Berle, when he was doing the Texaco Star Theater, whatever that show was, you know, Milton Berle, of course, was Jewish, and so he would have grown up, you know, hearing, you know, possibly Hebrew, but definitely Yiddish, because he used to use the word putz all the time on television. And putz is, you know, like, that's the business down there, your member. And so it's, oh, that guy's such a putz. And I guess they were just banking on the fact that, like a lily-white, waspy America probably had no idea what the hell he was talking about, which makes some sort of sense, so. Well, in any event, Castalia Language Center has brought you this rumination on language. They are a small private school in downtown Portland. They offer Spanish language classes for adults. And adults not always, but usually need to learn, maybe not separately, but in a different way than kids. And children that are just sort of, they just absorb language. It's almost like they just osmose it into their brains. You just put them next to, you know, the book. Well, it is immersion, I suppose, is how you do it. But kids learn much more rapidly. Adults, you have to be a little bit more deliberate about it, which means that if you just have a whole assembled class, people of all ages, it's not really going to be that efficient. Castalia doesn't operate that way. They do two things. They have it limited to adults only. Your kids are probably learning in school anyway, and this way you can sort of be learning at the same time. And classes are limited to 8 students, which means you're going to get more or less individual attention. It's certainly more attention than you would get at a high school or at a class where they just pack a bunch of people into a room. Now, to find out more about it, you just go to PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. Clara Grebel is the owner of the school. She's originally from Argentina, of course, a native Spanish speaker, and she's a proud supporter of the Emerson News Network. You can find out more about this at PortlandSpanish.com. Castalia Language Center, a proud sponsor of everything here on the Emerson News Network. All right, it is the Rick Emerson Radio Program as we prepare to wrap it up. Don Taylor, by the way, going to be today, 4 p.m. live at PDX.fm alongside Bobby Fatboy Roberts for another installment of Ham Fisted Radio. Here live or hear it later at HamFistedRadio.com and so forth. All right, I told you that I would turn the phone on here before you left, that I would...
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so the... all right, so I am now on turning the my brand-new iPhone 4. Oh, wait, nope. It's that thing of, like, I know where everything is on the BlackBerry, and so I just default to pressing where things ought to be. Even on the BlackBerry, does your phone...
I like how delicately you're touching it.
It's because it doesn't have the actual screen on it, and I swear to God, if this is, like... If I were to just look at it too long, I'm afraid that I'm just going to create some sort of... it's going to be just irreversibly damaged somehow. On the BlackBerry, does your phone lock after a certain period of time?
No.
So, pocket dial or whatever. The BlackBerry has this feature. You press it, and then the phone locks up so that you can't lean on a button or, whatever. If you got, business email or something on there. But when you unlock it, right next to the unlock feature, I guess by law, is the make an emergency call feature on the BlackBerry. So I would always go to press the unlock thing, and like one time out of three, it would say, "Are you sure you want to call the police? Dialing now." And I'm like, "No, no." And so, of course, I think it must be by law because the same thing is actually right here. So there you go. There's the. Would you like to? Thank you for not even touching it. I'm just putting it on a piece of paper and sliding it across the table.
Ooh, it's heavy.
It is heavy. It's got a good pleasing weight in the hand, Don.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
I like how it has a button right on top, YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's ringing.
Just put that down. Don't. That's the cops probably calling back for my emergency call thing. So there you go. So that is the iPhone 4 there. So I'm going to go, and they're going to go transmogrify it into an indestructible device with my invisible screen.
Oh, man, this is nice.
Yeah. Don't look at it too long. It'll start to fill you with covetous envy.
Too late.
All right. Is it everything you imagined it would be? What are you doing?
And I'm just pushing buttons.
I see you doing something evil there. Are you installing something?
No, I'm just looking at the settings, and at the bottom it says Nike plus iPod. Why is there a special Nike settings thing on your phone?
I believe that is because... Actually, show me the screen for a second. Careful. No. I believe that is because they make this weird product that no one, I think, really wants. I think it's a thing that it's a product they don't want to actually use. But they make this weird product where it is a thing that goes in the sole of your Nikes. They make a special kind of – it really is a perfect product for a certain kind of consumer. There's a little thing that goes in the sole of a kind of Nikes. So you buy a special pair of shoes, let's say. Okay, what was that look right there? When your dentist says, oops.
No, I was just saying, it said you can put your phone into airplane mode.
You know why that is? It's so the busybody, blue-haired, tight-ass stewardess can't tell you to turn it off.
Oh.
Because it's disabled all of the things that they lie to you about and say could interfere with the plane's navigation, which is, by the way, not true. But it actually disabled those, and Apple put out a huge press release about it. So you know why that's very satisfying? Because
I don't know how to get back out of settings.
The airplane mode is satisfying because Apple made sure that everybody knew about that feature. So you can actually tell them it's an airplane mode. So why don't you go F off and let me continue to type my email or whatever.
And it disables anything that could interfere with the...
Yeah. And Apple made sure that everybody knew that. So that is widely known.
Yeah.
So you don't have to sit there and argue with them and try to convince them that you can't destroy a $20 million plane with a cell phone.
Somebody in the text, drop it, Don, drop it. Like, no.
It wasn't that I was afraid that...
Hear Rick scream like a girl.
I knew you wouldn't damage it. That's the thing. I'm not saying that you would be like a butterfingers with it. I was afraid, though, that God, just to mock me, that, like, your microphone, which weighs itself several pounds, would tip over. And
you slide it towards me on the table. There's an earthquake, and, like, the ceiling falls in.
Or at that moment, like, your Viso bottle just explodes all over it or something. But the Nike thing, real quickly before we go. So it is the perfect product, actually, for people who are hyper-loyal to a specific brand, which Apple people are, and Nike people tend to be sometimes. You buy a special kind of Nikes that has a little slot, like, inside the shoe itself. Like, you peel back the thing where it says your size or whatever. And then with your iPod, you put a little – it's like a chip or something or other in the sole of your Nikes. And it then, like, magically, wirelessly tethers to your iPod. And this actually has an iPod in it, which is why that says that. And then
– it's like a pedometer thing or
something.
As
you're
like
jogging – as I understand it, as you're jogging, it not only calculates, like, your heart rate, the number of steps, the distance you've gone. I think it'll actually, like, announce to you in your headphones, like, you've now passed 3 miles or something. How many calories you've burned. And they were talking about putting a feature in where, I swear to Christ, it actually registered every time your feet hit the ground. And from that, created a mix using the beats per minute. And it analyzed your music library to create a beats per minute mix that would match your footfalls on the ground.
Wow.
It is like a world gone crazy out there. I'm just saying, if you go to buy a phone, whether it's a Droid or whatever, to be prepared just to be like more than a little frightened by the whole experience, because it is like things have officially started to go crazy with our science. I mean, so there you go. It does have a pleasing weight in the hand, though, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
All right. The end.
The end.
All right. We want to thank our guest, Kelly Clark, from Willamette Week, for joining us today. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, and Chief of Staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. We will have a brief musical interlude, followed by an encore of today's Legion of News, followed by an encore of this radio program, and so forth. And the Rick Emerson Show made possible by a generous grant from you, my friends. It is Wednesday, September 8th, 2010, and that is The Frequency. Kenneth, as always, thank you for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow. Bye now.
Attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.